Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
And we are live right here in the beautiful city of Lagos, broadcasting from 26 Kefi Street off Awolowo Road, Ikoyi, Lagos. And welcome to the greatest show on the planet, any given day of the week, Monday through to Fridays. This is the early edition right here on Lagos Talks 91.3 FM.
Good morning. It's the early edition.
We're getting straight into the conversation, a blend of a mix of information, a potpourri from the dailies to realities to government, to reaction of the people, government policies, all that is happening. Now we do that right here, the perfect way on Oluwakade and the Guru. My name is Oluwakade, the policy analyst, the public affairs analyst, veteran journalist, and many more, the historian. He's here with us this morning, and that is Mr. Godwin Etta Kibwebu, fondly called The Guru. The Guru.
Ayo Lukudi.
Benny, like Barababago.
Love that. Ayo is joy.
Yes, sir.
Am I correct in the interpretation?
Very, very correct.
So you brought joy with you. It is today and only today that I understand why each time I see you, I keep on laughing. I never knew that your name had influenced me totally.
It has.
I keep on laughing. Ayo, Lukudi.
Benny.
Then, meaning, I have come to meet with that Ayo, that joy. Please keep it up.
Thank you, sir.
So,
thank
there
you,
is sir. Much in name.
Yes.
There is much in name. The latest upload of my video to YouTube, that is Godwin the Guru, it says there is much in name. The robot had the name Odemohu. Odemohu, meaning your name detects to a very large extent where you are heading in life. And I was just making interpretation of the Ondo matter.
Okay.
The Ondo electoral processes that is coming in.
All right.
And I defined the name. I even said that the governor,
yes, sir,
the late Akirele
Akeredolu,
wrote me,
yes, sir,
Arakunrin, was so lucky to have lived to survive the first tenor, and in the second tenor, it was great. Because if you look at the story of Goodluck Jonathan, the name is Goodluck Ebere Jonathan. Only Goodluck, that Goodluck name given by the parents to that young man, gave him victory over everything. Everything practically he came across.
Yes, sir.
As a teacher, as a teacher,
yes, sir,
the headmaster died and he became headmaster of his school. I'm talking of Goodluck
Jonathan.
He was employed to upper deck by Chief A.K. Horsfall. A.K. Horsfall. A.K. Horsfall, I've always been very, very proud of the man. I'm very, very close to him. He happened to be the only one man intelligence officer in the whole world that occupied both internal and external positions of security for his country. Okay. No other person in the whole world. He was head. He was the director general of the NSO, as it was called then. Then he later became director general of the NIA.
Okay.
NIA is to Nigeria what CIA is to America. Then NSO or SSS or DSSS is to Nigeria what FBI is to America. He's the only one. Then AK Hussford, when he was chairman of OPADEC, he employed Goodluck Jonathan. So there was a day we sat down. Now he told me the story of Goodluck Jonathan, the ascendancy. And what brought the story? We were just thinking of this this young man. He's always getting it easier. It's like God will prepare the office for him before he arrived, even at the bottom of the ladder. So he now told me the story that he employed him.
Okay.
And look at what happened. The speed of rising. He now jokingly said, thank God, he did not stay too long, or he himself did not stay too long, probably he would have taken over as the chairman by what happened to others. Then as deputy governor, because the Rivers people met, not only Bayelsa, the Rivers people, you know, River owned Bayelsa, met with Justice Karim White,
Karim White,
to say, who would you propose as deputy governor for the incoming governor? And he said, I will give you three names. First, Goodluck Jonathan. Second, Goodluck Jonathan. Third, Goodluck Jonathan. Then Goodluck Jonathan was picked as deputy. It wasn't Goodluck Jonathan that pushed Alarms, but Alarms got himself involved, and Goodluck Jonathan with ease took over as a governor. Mm. Then Obasanjo look at the whole thing. Then Obasanjo say, with this militancy from the Niger Delta, let's pick one of them and give a good chance. It was for that reason that Obasanjo had picked Goodluck Jonathan to be, as being governor, continuing governor of River, I mean Bayelsa, he became vice president to
Yaradua.
Yaradua was picked by Obasanjo, not a sentiment of the senior brother. No. Because Yaradua had a clean slate. The records of those governors of his era, Yaradua happened to be the only governor without foreign account. I am very sure of this. So, Olusegun Obasanjo, as president of Nigeria, picked, so you assist Yaradua. Mm. The whole thing are well known to you. Every fact there, well known to you. Within a few days, he never brought sickness to Yaradua, but the man died and became president. So, that's his name. And that one has only one element, good luck. But if you travel back to the Sunshine State, Ondo State, the now governor, who was deputy governor, and whom Akeredolu fought, the family of Akeredolu fighting him, the party fighting him, and many other people fighting him. His names are... Lucky. You know, Lucky is not too far from good luck. Then the second name is Orimison. My head is good. Then the third name, Ayedatiwa, the word has become mine. So this made me thinking that, how come Ogbeni Akeredolu Rotimi was able to survive even because these three names, two names heavier than the one of Goodluck Jonathan. Because Goodluck Jonathan stopped at Goodluck. Then you have this one, Lucky, Orimison, Ayedatiwa. Then I say, people must be very, very thick for the man to have even survived all those years. So in calculation, my conclusion is that was before they went into the primaries, was when I shot this video. It doesn't matter how much Jimmy Ibrahim want to play the games of abracadabra, of grab, of whatever, or spending the money of dollar, that he will come down for Lucky Orimison Ayedatiwa. And that came to pass. So now, checking through the periscope, I can confidently say that the next governor of Ondo State will be Lucky Orimison Ayedatiwa. So I compare that to you, Okayode. And I'm enjoying part of the Ayo that we could. So, Lagos Talks 91.3 FM. This is the segment of Oluwa Kayode and the Guru. And I want to thank all of you for waiting for us. We also wait for you. We always anticipate waiting for you to meet with you. So thank you very much all over the globe. I'm grateful that you are there listening to us. Straight away to the point is that I have two big brains. Each of the two brains should be about 100% over my own brain, each of them. So we are having about 250% over my own brain that I brought to the studio. I will work on them, then we go for the historical perspective, then I celebrate one of my very, very good friend who attained the age of 70 yesterday. And I will tell you the prayer I told her in the place of celebration. There are good places in Lagos. We went to the Trinity Towers, opposite City of David. The last floor, 15th floor, is the place. Very good restaurant. The food is good. It's the type you can get any part of the world. I will tell you that. First and foremost, and I will introduce them by order of seniority, whichever way, which cannot be contested.
Professional seniority or?
In all ways of life. And even today as we speak, he is the first to arrive here.
I was going to ask you, is punctuality, seniority,
this is lucky,
professional?
This is good luck. This is good luck. What are we talking? Please, ladies and gentlemen, with a very clean and heart that is glorifying the existence of God, I welcome Professor Joseph Abugu. Professor Joseph Abugu is a senior advocate of Nigeria. He's a teacher of commercial law in the University of Lagos. He's a traditionally imbued person. Ologu. Abowuruwuru, Adokwaragbugi, Ikeberide, Hari Hari, Aduvyekeya, Ajijukopia. Yes, one more. That's good. That's good. So you are welcome, Prof.
Thank you, Guru. Luka Kayode, thank
yes,
you
sir.
For having me in the studio today again.
Always a pleasure, sir.
And thank you. Good morning to our listeners.
Thank you. Now, the next is not the least. The next, there are some areas that I would introduce him first. Because where you go into, there's this palace in Wari, monkey, now grade by grade monkey day for forest. And if you go to buy shoe, if you enter shoe shop, now different sizes day, size by size, now shoe take exist. Here was a man that the whole world was demanding, begging. Just last week, Wednesday, that, please come physically
yes,
to the studio. Everyone calling from all parts of the world, you must come physically. I'm reintroducing my very, very good brother, the Agerese of Roboland, the Amaketa of Roboland, Eddie Odivri, former deputy editor of This Day newspaper. A historian, an erudite journalist of remarkable counting, owner of schools, and many others. Let me not reveal everything because so to lessen the demand on him, because people will say, So, Eddie Odiri, you are welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Guru and Lua Kayode.
Thank you, sir.
I'm happy to be
morning.
Here.
Right, yeah. Let us now move.
But the group, before you continue, sir, when you were introducing them, I was inspired.
Okay.
I need the traditional title from Yoruba land.
No problem. It's awarded already.
Okay.
By the presence of senior advocate of Nigeria, Professor Zabu Kuyi.
It has been gazetted.
If you want three. I can show you. It's already given. Okay. Now, I want to congratulate my very, very good friend, my very, very good younger sister. It's a friend, Margaret Japa. Yesterday, exactly, she became 70. And Margaret, if you are listening to me, I told you wear your shoe for dancing. Are you in that? But the music will come later, not now, because of the exigency of the operation we are having in our hands. But yesterday, while she was celebrating, the place was filled up. Very, very nice place. I described it earlier. They asked me to say a word or two. So as I got up to speak, she left her chair, she knelt down. Then somebody said, no, sit down. I said, no, this is my big uncle, my very, very good senior. Then I pray for her, I say, Margaret, this is just 70. You are just coming in. You will celebrate 80.
Amen.
And I, Godin Etakwebu, would be the chairman of the occasion.
Amen.
And you will celebrate 90. I will still remain the chairman of the occasion. Then I told her, you will now celebrate 100. Of course, I will be the chairman of the occasion. There was one elderly man in our midst who said that, only you, what about me? I said, because I'm not too sure you'll be alive. Then I told her, when you shall be celebrating 110, I will still be the chairman. I said, then after that, there will be debate between yourself and myself. And the debate will surround the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said that in my father's house, there are many mansions. Mm. If not two, I would have to do. I said, because after your 110, when I will be the chairman, I said, I will call you that. Margaret, you know, Jesus said in our father's house, there are many mansions. Go there and check the mansions and choose one for yourself. Then choose one for me. If they allow you to come back here, then come back and report to me. I said, but then you will can't tell me that, Uncle, why are you so selfish? Are you not my senior by far? Why not you going? I said, this will be the debate of the day. So that is, Margaret, congratulations. Happy birthday. You shall celebrate those years, as I remarked yesterday, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let us go to our historical perspective. It's very short. And it will introduce to us part of the issues we shall be discussing today. Because the issue we shall be discussing today, I really don't need to wait for Coyote. You may bring them out. But then, what is today's historical perspective? The historical perspective of today is telling you to know your country and the history of your country.
Mm.
At a time that history was taught to being taught in Nigeria, Nigerians missed a lot. And what was the motive of those who stopped teaching of history? Because a person that is historically blind had lost every sense of life.
Mm.
Because if you don't know where you start from, you definitely will not know where you are going. Your anchor place is to be detected by your starting point. So, this historical perspective is begging you, Oluwa Kayode. I just mentioned your name. I know you know the history of your country. And I cannot tell the professor, neither would I tell the erudite editor, to know your country and the history of your country. Listen to this. In the year 2006 of our Lord Jesus Christ, the chairman of EFCC, Ribadu, Nuhu Ribadu, Nuhu Ribadu.
Yes, sir.
The chairman of the EFCC. He appeared before the Senate of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And he listed 5 corrupt governors in Nigeria.
Mm.
He listed them. He told the Senate that these 5 I want to mention are most corrupt governors in Nigeria. This is history. This is what Nuhu Ribadu said. So if you adapt, go and meet Nuhu Ribadu. Mm. If you adapt, go and meet the senior president of that era, Namani. And let us hear what you say. I think, was it Namani or Oyi of Oyi? It's one of them. You know, that time they do change the senior presidency, like person changing rapper. Obasogo was a specialist in doing that. He will visit you in the evening. He will tell your wife to prepare pounded yam for him. After eating the pounded yam, in the night, the boys will come with your letter resigning with gun, and you will sign it. So, Nuhu Ribadu, the chairman of EFCC, told the Senate and mentioned 5 most corrupt governors in Nigeria. Permit me, Kayode.
Yes, sir.
If you are not objecting, to read the names. Ojikalu, Abia State. Ahmed Bola Tinubu, Lagos State. Ahmed Sani Yerima, Zamfara State. George Akume, Benue State. And Shimaroki Namani of Enugu State. Today, in the year of our Lord 2024, that is 18 years after that announcement, after that discovery. Ojikalu is a service senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Bola Ahmed Tinubu is the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Ahmed Sani Yerima is a senator. Or was he a senator?
Was
a senator. And while sitting as a senator, he breached many rules and regulations. He got married to a 30-year-old and came with definition of what is a mashal woman for age of marriage, and said that once a woman is saying that according to Quranic interpretation, and of course he did not carry he did not marry the girl here. He traveled to Egypt to go and marry the girl. Was a senator. George Akume was a senator, but now secretary to the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Chimaroke Namani was a senator. This is the history of the five. This is the history of the five. Shockingly, the then EFCC chairman, Nuhu Ribadu, who made this revelation, is today the National Security Advisor. Maybe pursuing those five he mentioned or not. This is the history of our country. Then the Senate of today is presided over by Senator Godswill Akpabio, alias What Money Cannot Do, More Money Will Do It, who had bags and baggages of investigation from EFCC. I'm not the one saying that. When he was nominated first as a minister, Professor Israel Sagi, who was then the chairman of corruption and everything for the president of then, made a statement, President Muhammadu Buhari, he made a statement. He said, I wouldn't know why the president will include the name of Godswill Akpabio as a minister, a man who is loaded with a lot of corrupt investigations that are going. Why we? That is the man that is today. So, every other question you may want to ask, to me, let it remain rhetorical. Take the question home, answer it. Where you will see some policies that are coming, don't ask the guru. Ask yourself and ask or assess Ribadu to ask and say, Oga, could this be one of those things you said, those things which have even to go? Let me just add this. At a time when Nuhu Ribadu wanted to be president of Nigeria, he has no political party of his own. He had to go and run meet Bola Ahmed Tinubu. You know that man is very, very generous in being good, in making people. And Bola Ahmed Tinubu borrowed Nuhu Ribadu, his own political party, so that he could contest other political party. I remember somebody asking me a question there that, but you told the whole world that this man you admitted to take his party to contest was very, very corrupt. That's not it. Know your history. Know your country. All right, let's move.
Okay.
What are those things?
A couple of items for us to look through this morning. The number one is the Lagos-Calabar coastal road issue. Number two, legal cybercrime levy and its legality. Three, the NBA doesn't want the CJN as chairman of the NJC. Many ends there. And the fourth item here, River State's political house of commotion.
Thank you very, very much. One can be so sidelined. That is the cyber
crime. Yes.
Because
levy.
I was told, I have not read it. I know it's in the news that the president has suspended it. So we only just mention it for a while or for a little. But every other thing is to be downloaded. Professor, by orders of precedence, I will start with you, sir.
Very well.
River State is gradually becoming western region of Nigeria during the First Republic. When Obafemi Awolowo pick his phone and called Tafawa Balewa, the Prime Minister, say, can I see you briefly? Oh, he said, walk across. Obafemi Awolowo walked across to Tafawa Balewa. This was exactly 10 a.m. And he told him that, Prime Minister, there are rumors that you want to declare state of emergency in the Western region. Then Tafawa Balewa said, chief, he called him chief. Even when he was seeing him to the prison, he called him chief, respectfully. Say, chief, is this why you walked? He said, why you call me that you want to? I thought there's something. Why would you believe such rumor? If anything like that happened, I will sit here and preside over such discussion. You should have just even asked me over the phone. You shouldn't have wasted your time. So there's nothing like that. I said nothing like that. So Obafemi Awolowo returned. And Obafemi Awolowo picked the phone and called the wife. And told the wife, I just left the prime minister. This is the question I asked the prime minister. This is the question that, this is the answer he gave to me. Be sure that within the next 24 hours, a state of emergency will be declared. Then the wife said, if he said no, he said, I know that I'm dealing with a Fulani person. You may not know. That afternoon, state of emergency was declared on Western Region. The declaration came because Western Region came to the point where it was named Operation Wet Year. That is Operation Spray Kerosene or Petrol on people, on vehicle, on houses, and set them ablaze. River State, sir, is almost becoming that. Those of us who are old enough to have known many histories of Nigeria development, at least I know the history of Nigeria, I just read one in historical perspective. Now, Wike is holding an axe from Abuja. The president moved into the matter politically, not constitutionally. And there is a crumble. And yesterday, Akao, what's the other name? One young man. I know him very well, but I've forgotten the other name. He used to be executive director, engineering and technical services for the Nigeria Post Authority many, many years ago. Before, he has been the side of pro-institution before he was sent to which country as ambassador and co. Led old politicians in Rivers to the site of the legislators' quarters and say, all of them say, nothing wrong here, that the governor was doing this. All these are going on. And part of the agreement proposed, because President Parliament proposed something for them and they all signed, and Fubara signed, and people were saying, why would you sign that? But to return back, he did not do one of those things. Return the budget to the returning legislators. He did not do it. And two items he proposed, the legislator threw it away. And the one the legislator brought to him, he threw it away. Thank God. Sir, you are a very, very senior teacher of constitutional amendment and everything. You are a very, very senior lawyer. You are senior advocate of Nigeria. Let's start with you. But you have to help us, sir. Three minutes will be more than enough to answer this question. Let's cross over to River State. Give us your wisdom and knowledge.
What is happening in River State, in a way, underscores the nature of politics in Nigeria. To the extent now that one can reasonably say that the state is now becoming ungovernable. The legislative arm is a critical arm in governance. And when you have a situation where the legislature is divided between three legislators on one side and 17 legislators on the other side, and they are both claiming legitimacy in exercising the power to make laws for the state, then you have a serious crisis at hand. Regrettably, too, the congestion in the courts has also not facilitated the courts in speedily attending to the crucial issues surrounding the legitimacy of lawmakers in the River State House of Assembly.
Okay.
And so there is no clear perspective from the judiciary.
Okay.
As to who, as to the status of the 17 legislators who defected. You know, because the governor, as it is, as was reported in the media, has interpreted the law in his own wisdom and thinks that the 17 legislators now lack the status of legislators.
Yes.
But again, even a spectator will wonder, declaration of vacancies is not the function of the executive.
But court.
The assembly itself have to make a declaration.
Okay. Through the speaker?
Yes. That these seats are vacant. And then those legislators can then test, you know, through the court system, you know, the legality or otherwise of the declaration.
Okay.
But we now have a situation where it is the governor that is saying that, I don't recognize them. They are not legislators. But all of that too boils down to the enormous powers that are vested in state governors under the 1999 Constitution.
Okay.
Visually, governors, state governors are emperors in their states.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they all try to do is cow or make the legislative arm subservient to the executive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's hardly any legislative assembly, you know, at the state level that is truly, truly independent.
Meaning within the 36 states.
Within the 36 states that is truly independent as conceived by the Constitution.
Yes, sir.
And so that's the problem.
Okay.
And so quickly, too, I will say that with the recent developments, I would say that the legislative machinery for making laws has broken down in River State, and that under the Nigerian Constitution, that singular act alone is enough for the National Assembly to exercise
mostly the House of Representatives.
Yes, to exercise its constitutional powers to, you know, declare a state of emergency and usurp the legislative powers of the River State House of Assembly. And I think that until that is done, you know, all the contending parties will not sober.
Okay.
To arrive at a political decision.
Okay.
And settlement of the issues.
Thank you very much, sir. Editor.
Yes, sir.
Along this trajectory where the professor came in, I want to ask a question. The 27 legislators defected. They left the political party that brought them on to another party. Yes, I agree with Professor that will not be enough for the governor to sit as a jury. But within that period, the governor prepared his budget and a court of
competent jurisdiction
made a pronouncement that either four or three people that remained there were the members of the assembly. And that the others, that the governor should go and present his budget. Does this not help the governor in what he concluded? The presentation of the budget, according to the pronouncement of the court, shall we consider that as illegal, where that was the last word from the judiciary on the matter pending?
Well, it is probably right to say that the pronouncement of the court legitimized what the governor did at the time.
Thank you.
But what is the provision of the Constitution?
Yes.
Would four or five persons out of the House of 32 make up for the majority required quorum that can make the House function?
Mm.
So there's a lacuna, I would think.
Okay.
You know, the five persons who were loyal to Governor Fubara do not, in my thinking, make up the requisite number for a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the court made a pronouncement that gave courage and Philip to the governor to present his budget.
Where are you now? Because yet you are not neither here nor there.
No, what? I'm just making a point that to say that what the governor did was in resonance with what the court
with the court's declared. Pronouncement.
Yes, the court's pronouncement. But let it be made clear that I strongly believe what the Constitution provides for, i.e. that those lawmakers, 27 of them, who defected without any reason whatsoever
at the national party,
at the national party, or either at the national or even state, there was no reason, there was no division. So to have defected and left the party that sponsored them to that seat, automatically the provision of the Constitution says that they have lost their seats.
Okay,
that is beyond contest.
Okay,
it has nothing to be contested about.
Okay.
What the president, Ahmed Bola Tinubu, did was a political resolution.
Yes.
Just to wedge in something.
Yes.
And asked all of them to come back. And as you rightly said in your introduction, Fubara agreed, according to him,
yes,
in pursuit of peace.
Yes.
So he agreed that, okay, those people can come back. But in coming back, they have strongly stood in frustration of his administration.
Yes.
So the determination of those 27 lawmakers not to take, or not to cooperate, let me not even say take order, not to cooperate the executive arm, rather than, but to prefer to cooperate with the former governor.
Yes.
That has frustrated all of the essence of the peace arrangement that the president did. So I think, like Prof said, there's a big problem. There's a stalemate, and it will probably lead to asking for a state of emergency, because as it is, things are falling apart and the center is not holding between the executive and the legislature.
Another Sinashebe is born.
Thank you.
Okay, Prof, yes. please spare this for just 1 minute. Law making in any given country that operates under constitution. The constitution, what it says, remains final. The pronouncement of a court until it is challenged becomes law. Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. If the River State High Court made that pronouncement and had not been challenged, for example, you just admitted that the packaging of too many things has not made the course in Nigeria to be so progressive in meeting exigency of the people. Now, that pronouncement of the court on that matter on that day, which had not been challenged by Court of Appellation, does that not give recognition to four people gives recognition to four people to pass a budget? Does it make it that only four people that are here, and can that be faulted again, that the man did not do according to...
Prof, Guru, the account I have actually says that there is a pending appeal on that decision.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, that's why I initially said, you know, the clog,
yes,
the backlog of cases within the court system.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, if otherwise, this is a decision...
of a competent court.
Subject to appeal.
Yes, sir.
And then an appeal court should be able to quickly and expeditiously deal with it.
Yes.
So that we have a position.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. You see, but the court system is not facilitative, as it were.
Yes.
In giving a direction, you know.
I agree with you, sir.
You know, Eddie was quite affirmative in saying that, they have decamped, defected, and therefore, constitutionally, you know, and he said for no reason. But I don't think that is correct. You know, they did say or allege that there was a division with respect to, is it the secretary?
Yes.
Chief of the party.
What, this man from Imo State.
Exactly, you know. So that's their reason. Whether that reason holds water.
Mm.
Is for the courts to determine.
Okay, thank you very much.
But the courts, because of administrative bottlenecks, has not risen up to
that
occasion.
Thank you very much, sir. Just 30 seconds.
Yes.
The question is for you again.
Yes.
Now, yes, there is an appeal pending. But until the appeal is heard,
yes,
does the judgment of the lower court not stand as law?
Of course it is, unless there is another for staying execution.
Okay, that's good. Now, we are navigating somewhere.
Yes.
I think that place is... you have a word to drop on that just for 30 seconds, Editor?
Yes, until, like Prof rightly said, until there is a contrary judgment by a higher court.
Yes.
That pronouncement of the lower court stands
and
there is has to be obeyed.
And there is no pronouncement of stay of execution.
At all. There's none. Even the argument about they giving a reason that there's a crisis at the national level, I think it was just administrative issue of who gets what.
The whole world knows that that could not stand.
There was no crisis by every definition of the word crisis.
Even,
they may have just used that as a ground to say what, do what
even
they were.
Even the guru who is a bushman know that that one cannot stand.
But like he said, it let the court come and affirm that indeed there was no crisis.
And the cases like this, the court will not move too much in hurry.
They are never in a hurry.
Okay.
So slowly.
Okay. Then, In your mind, I will start with you, editor. Do you see a problem, a major problem emanating from Rivers State that could disturb the home country economically for a while?
Very little so. It is so very clear, and it's smelling very strongly, and we can all perceive it.
Would that be the odor and perceive?
Yes, okay. Yes, I'm sure that's what you are perceiving, because each of the images I've watched on television, the Pro Fubara group, I think they had a Thanksgiving in somewhere in Ahoda during the week of
where the former speaker,
yes,
who is now chief of staff, said that exactly. He was offered money,
exactly, offered money to those people
to
Fubara would teach those people some lesson. He made that point clear.
Yes,
but what I'm even interested in is the crowd behind every of these factions, and you will know that indeed trouble is brewing. When the man you talked about,
Edmond Akao,
yes,
I now
led those people to the national the assembly quarter.
Yes.
You know, you also see a crowd of people,
yes,
and many of them are
former speaker, former
great politicians in Rivers State. Yes. So there is going to be a
showdown,
big duel, as it were, and it's almost like a zero sum game. One will have to cancel out the other,
okay.
And if it is not well managed, it will really lead to political conflagration in the country, and it will affect our economy, because that place is the hub of Nigerian oil and gas.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Let me move quickly, because there are many questions one want to ask on this. And if we base our question on this one, in the next 20 hours, we will still be here. Let me move straight away, deviate a little. The Lagos-Calabar Coastal Road. The Lagos-Calabar Coastal Road. I'm talking of the Lagos-Calabar Coastal Road. Yeah. It was not bidded. There was no competitive bidding. The amount the National Assembly approved for the project wasn't what was going on there now. Then we have a project of 15 trillion that is not bidded for. But the government has said that because high tech has the capacity and is doing it. Again, sir, I will start with you, Prof. What is your wisdom on this matter? Look it both as an old man and the eyes of the law. Then tell us one thing. But, sir, 2 minutes.
Okay. Let me point out something that I think most commentators on this issue are not addressing.
Okay.
This project is a huge project.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody has denied the importance or usefulness of this
project. Of the project, yes.
It's a wonderful project.
Yes.
If it is pursued to fruition, to completion, it will greatly improve the economy of this
value
country.
Of this country, yes, yeah, sir.
Okay. Now, but the issue about procurement, about advertisement, about bidding, and all of that, most of the commentaries have not taken into cognizance the nature of this project.
Okay. And okay. What is that?
The contract for this project,
yes, sir,
I understand, is on the basis of
CPC
engineering, procurement, construction, and financing.
Yes.
In other words, the federal government is financing only 30%. Counterpart funding is only 30%.
Yes.
The contractors will be funding this project 70%.
Okay.
And so the project has inbuilt mechanism by which these contractors are going to recoup their money over a period of time.
Yes.
Now, a contract of this nature is fundamentally different from when a government says, I want to construct this road. These are the bill of quantities. These are the details. Please, let's have bidders.
Okay.
It's a little bit different.
Okay.
Okay. So, I also want to underscore the fact that, look, this project went through the Federal Executive Council at least twice.
Okay.
The Federal Executive Council at each of these at each of these occasions,
yes,
approved the project. Mm-hmm. They first approved the project. When it come to raising the counterpart funding of about 4.something trillion, mm-hmm, they also approved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we live in a country where, you know, we see every public officer, every public contract,
mm,
as imbued with corruption.
Mm.
That may necessarily be so.
Okay, sir.
But we need to also give the benefit of doubt,
okay,
and understand the conception of this project.
Okay. Mm. One question for,
yes,
you.
Yes.
Again, sir, please, with all respect, only 30 seconds. You mean by the process that the federal government is only counterfunding.
Yes.
30%.
Yes.
Does that dislodge the Procurement Act not to be put into practice in law?
What you said now, the act is about procurement.
Mm-hmm.
Not so.
Mm-hmm.
It's about procurement.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. This is a partnership agreement,
okay,
between the government,
mm-hmm,
and the contractors.
Okay. So there wouldn't be need of competitive bidding, since the government either counterpaying or is supposed to represent Nigeria in such a way that everything must go openly according to the, what do you call that, is it Bureau of
BPI?
Under the Public Procurement Act,
mm,
there are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions. You know, in other words, government can get into some contracts that do not require the full gamut of publicity, asking for bids.
And this one falls within that jurisdiction?
I think so.
Okay. Then one final question, sir.
Yes.
The National Assembly approved a particular money. But here we are. What was paid went beyond 50, how many trillion? About 4 or something trillion? Or how much?
1 trillion.
Huh?
They paid 1 trillion instead of 500 million.
Instead, the National Assembly provided 500 million in this budget.
The budget, 2024.
Without the, what you call this thing, attracting money from other places that went, then they paid above 1 trillion. Is that acceptable under the law? You are the reservoir of law here, sir.
Well, first and foremost, we need to understand where the difference comes from.
Okay.
Where's the difference,
okay,
coming from?
Okay.
Okay. Now, there are also occasions where the government makes expenditures that are above the budgeted figure,
mm,
and then they go back to the National Assembly, mm, to make a case for barment,
mm,
and make a case for ratification.
Mm. But what about this one that is over and above?
The window is still open.
For the government to go back to the National Assembly?
Yes, the window, okay, is still open.
Then we shall therefore be in the continuous process of, after the means and ways would have been consumed, then you come to the National Assembly and say, oh yeah, ratify it.
Well.
Okay. No, hold your thought there, sir. Thank you very much. Editor.
Yes, sir.
Please, I heard your opinion before, but I know within the past 7 days you have slept over this matter as a commodore. Okay, we told the president, Ibrahim Babangida, that let me sleep over the matter. Can you say a word or two on this 15 trillion budget contract?
Yes, I think I want to differ slightly with our learned prof. I am not unduly intimidated by is being a professor of law.
I see you advocated it. After the two of you, don't belong to the same profession.
Exactly. But let me say that he has spoken like a lawyer, probably in defense of establishments.
Mm.
But let me quickly point out a few things. The things we know in the public domain,
yes,
i.e. the idea of a procurement law, is, and then you talked about open bidding. I do not know. I wouldn't know the ground for which. I know there are a few exceptions. And you rightly pointed out, asked him whether this one also falls into that exception. And he said, probably. I wouldn't know what that why this would qualify for that kind of exception. There is no urgency, as it were, as to warrant that there will be no open bidding. And for the sake of facts, there is no government in this country since 1960 that has awarded one project that has cost as much as this, 15 trillion naira. Not one, not never. So for a humongous project like this, I would think, bearing every other exception of political gymnastics, that it should go through open bidding.
Hmm.
Much more than that, sir.
Hmm.
This is a project, like I said last week, of 700 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And you are telling us that a kilometer will cost 4 billion naira.
Yeah, that's what it costs.
1 kilometer is 4 billion naira. How did they arrive at that?
At this. That's good.
Was there due process? I think there's an arm of government that should check costing.
Where was the bidding? Where is the categorization?
Yes, and then the prof also talked about the partnership with this person, probably with this contractor. Were other contractors given the opportunity to probably also partner government? Were they given the opportunity that, okay, yes, we too, we have the capacity and we also have the money to partner with you and we can do X, Y, Z. They were not given the opportunity. So why did government so selectively choose Hi-Tech in the name of condition? And if you recall, the Minister of Works had said they waived it. That's the word he used, that they waived that condition. And what is even more, on this same issue, there was no environmental impact assessment.
That's good.
That is what has resulted to the huge money they are paying as compensation to some persons.
Landmark.
Yes,
Landmark.
And the rest of all of that. And, sir, I will also ask. Yes, I agree very clearly that if the road is, I like the word they use, and if it is faithfully completed, it would improve our economy. No doubt about that.
You know, he's a very, very senior lawyer.
Yes, yes. But the great word is if. What if he doesn't? Where are we even going to get 15 trillion from to pay? Yes, it is not a one. It's not a 1 year, two year project. So the point about the economy, improving our economy. Yes, it is good, but I don't think it is a great matter of urgency. So the fact that they have breached EIA. They have breached the funding agreement and arrangement. They have breached the procurement law. They have breached even the need for people to, the government itself, to assess the amount quoted by the Hi-Tech. I think there's so much more to it. And like I said last week, I strongly suspect that the overriding interest is to create waterfront assets to
Dangote.
No, not the Dangote.
Okay.
This estate they are trying to build here.
Atlantic. Eco-Atlantic.
Eco-Atlantic.
Eco-Atlantic to Dangote.
Exactly. So it is to create the waterfront assets that will give that Eco-Atlantic estate an edge, an estate edge. And that is, I think, is the driving force, because I do not see how they will get this team to run this through.
Thank you very much.
Let me quickly add something.
No, sorry, you will come back. You will add when we come back. Yes, on this issue. When we come back. We need to get to the market. We need to go to the market to see, to bring food to the table. So we shall be back in a jiffy.
I hope we all eat of the food.
You are welcome back. We are back from the market. You want to listen to Genex, you want to listen to Petrocam, and the good things they have in the market. Professor.
Yes.
Very good. Very good, you said so.
Yes.
I will give you just, please, respectfully,
yes,
only 30 seconds.
Okay.
Because we have one or two matters to talk before we invite the public.
I agree with Eddie to the extent that there is a more to this, that we're probably glossing over. And I want to point out just one thing.
Okay.
You see, an engineering project like this coastal road project, it's not something that you conceive in 12 months.
Yes.
So, it will be rash to just say, oh, the Tinubu administration has just conceived of this. Oh, they want to give access to Atlantic City, you know, and then that's why this project is running.
I agree with you.
I don't believe so.
I agree with you.
Okay. So the
idea, because this project has been on ground for the past 15 years or so.
Exactly. You know, even from the First Republic, you know, from some of the literature I've read, even from the First Republic, the idea of this coastal road that will connect Lagos, Ondo, you know.
Sheikh Shagari tried his best to bring it to fruition.
So this project has been there.
Yeah.
Which means that some specification, some design have been there. But some coordinates, you know, of where this road will pass through are already there.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. That is accepted.
So we need to understand that it's not just, you know, a 12-month
But that equally challenged the accessibility of not having environmental
impact assessment.
No,
yes, because there's none.
What I'm saying,
there is none. I can confirm that for you.
Okay,
there's none.
If you say throughout the course of all these engineering designs,
there is none.
An impact assessment has not been
done. I can confirm that to you authoritatively.
Okay.
Then let us just say one word, just a minute each. Thank God the legal, the cyber crime. I heard of it, not that I've read, and I believed what I heard, that the president had temporarily suspended it, or something. The editor, sir.
Yes, sir.
What's your opinion? What's your opinion of that cyber law, which is legitimate, of the contradiction between you are a bank, I have my money, in order for my money to be safe, I give it to you to hold. You have charged me already for holding my money for me. And now to secure the money where through one means you want me to pay 0.005 or 0.05 off to it. So that I will be the one, apart from all the remaining charges, to keep my money give to me in the pervert way that the original bank started with the goldsmith and hold my gold. When I come back in 3 months, I pick it. That is two, three. Central bank, we collect this money from me through the banks, which is legitimate. Central bank has the right constitutionally to do all this thing, but the money will be domiciled by central bank in an account. Only to the spending of the money will move to the office of the national security advisor. Given what went wrong with that Suki and Kwanko, the course and all those things. Please, sir. Can you just do this in a minute? Because the people are waiting to be called into this.
Well, to the extent that there is an information published by the Nation newspaper, almost exclusively. Nation newspaper is owned and published by President Bola Tinubu.
Of course.
So, to a large extent, there is validity to that story. To a large extent, like I said. So, to the extent that there's a announcement that it has been suspended, so that would naturally defray every other other attacks on the project. But enough to just say that it is also instructive to hear the reason the president supposedly gave for the suspension, i.e., that the NSA did not seek clarification and approval from his office before directing the CBN.
I said I've not read it. I didn't hear of this.
That was the story they gave. That the NSA did not get the approval of the president's office to direct the CBN governor to implement this law on this levy issue. So I think that again is also very laughable. And it poo-poos the idea of administrative competence between the NSA office and the office of the president. But just let's agree or believe that indeed it's been suspended. I would prefer the word cancelled. But if it is suspended, then let it be never resuscitated and give Nigerians relief from biting things.
Thank you, sir. Prof, your thought on this? Because I gave you 1 minute, I will locate your own. Be a very senior man.
The basic thing, and which is common knowledge, is that the Nigerian situation is unique. This is one country where if you put your money in the bank, you are subject to multiple taxation
and charges.
Thank you, sir.
In the name of charges,
yes, sir,
on your money.
Mm.
You know, this is a country where you pay stamp duties.
Yes.
On monetary transactions.
Mm.
This is a country where you pay VAT, value added tax.
A very annoying tax.
Very annoying tax. I like that. I like that.
You know, on monetary transactions. You know, VAT, that is supposed to be a tax on services with added value.
Mm.
We pay tax in transferring money.
Mm.
We pay tax in depositing money. We pay tax in withdrawing money. Then we also pay account maintenance fee.
Yes.
Mm.
On a monthly basis.
Yes.
Ah. You know,
even withholding tax,
so it is terrible, you know. And then to then say that this law has been there since 2015,
yeah, they now want to 2024,
and then they now want to implement it just adds to the kind of pain and burden the government has consistently
we give it to the people.
Yes, you know, you know, visit on.
Thank you very much, sir. I think that's a good ground to rest this for now.
Yeah.
Let us allow people to come into the discussion. If it is only for a few minutes, before we return back to the market, before we close this out for today.
All right. The phone lines are open, and I know I have a ton of messages here. So let's start with voice notes. Let's just equalize everything. All right.
With the prof is really the son. He knows the law. Hello, good morning. This is Ola from Suleri. I think I go with the prof is really the son. He knows the law. So the government has not violated any law. So the issue of whether there is open bidding, this project is different. And there is provision in the law to allow what they have done. So the issue of who determined the urgency is the government that determined the urgency. The government knows that it needs to deliver to people. He has just 3 years, and inside that 3 years, he has used 1 year. So he has just one more year before the election. So he has to hurry up and deliver something to the people, which we people should be happy about, that we have government that is hurrying up to deliver project to us. Not unlike before, that we waste 1 year to do bidding and then wasting time. So that is the good thing that we should commend the government
for. Thank you.
Thank you.
If that's a problem, shouldn't we consider amending the law rather than anyway?
I laugh in Swahili.
In Swahili.
This is Ngozi from Ikeja.
Younger.
The crops are now being uncorrupted. So, I mean, if the most corrupt people, as mentioned by your guy, are now the people leading the country,
know your history.
So what do you make out of it? Well, let me say that the country is no longer under the corruption. You know, the country is now corrupt. Corruption of corrupt country. I don't know this kind of English I'm going to speak here, but when this country is a joke, to be on a serious note, we are jokers in this country. Ah, Father Lord, where do we begin from? Where do we begin from? Whose voice can we now we hear our cry in this country?
Okay, begin from the beginning.
Good morning. From Oyua Kayo Day, good morning. You can see how we think in Nigeria. 15 trillion for a road project. Meanwhile, we don't have refinery. How many years will it take us to build a refinery of how many billion? We want to spend 15 trillion. You can see how we think, how we put ourselves into more suffer than before. Good morning.
Morning. But are we not working on refinery? The guru, you have information. Are we not working on refinery?
Hey, that information is not for today.
Hello, caller. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Friday, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Salute you.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
I just want to give more take concerning what is happening in River Street. So I want to ask you, Mr. B, what about if the appellate court decided to judge in the favor of those 17 lawmakers? What will not be the fate of Ubara, the governor of River Street?
No, there will still be a ground for appeal.
You will leave the court of appeal.
Then you go to Supreme Court.
All right, thank you for that. Hello, caller. Good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Peter Umonse,
Commander General, Somolu Sector.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. And in fact, today you have met my day with that historical perspective. I will not talk about it today. Come, I will talk about it. Thank you, sir, for that. I'm taking my key, sir.
Oh, boy.
What I want to say about Riverside.
Okay, Peter, we can't hear you. The network has been bad.
Can you pick something because our time is running?
Yes, sir. Okay, let's see you.
First talk, the suspension order given by President Tinubu to CBN on cyber security levy is a welcome development. This shows that the president has a listening ear and ready to do the will of the people. In the same manner, we would like the president to drop for now the Lagos-Calabar Coastal Road project, because as good as the project is, the project is not a major priority if placed under scale of preference, and also putting into consideration the crippled economic situation in the country. Finally, if truly we all have equal rights in the country, I wonder why some areas will be grouped as Band A and will be enjoying at least 20 hours of power supply, while others are left in total blackout. Is that not discrimination of the highest order? It's absurd. God bless Nigeria. Onotoye from Ijagemo community.
Thank you very much.
On a lighter note, as we wrap up, why won't you have Band A? You already have bandits. So have Band A, Band B, Band A.
And abandoned. You know the band you belong to.
Band
your
F.
Son told you Band F. The son. Son told you, said, Daddy, it is like we're Band F. Yeah, let us okay, we want to wrap up because we are ending up to the market. Editor.
Yes, sir.
Eddie Odibri, former deputy editor of the This Day newspaper. I really thank you sincerely.
Thank you, sir.
And the people had asked me to thank you because
now you believe that.
Thank you very, very much for coming. And thank you for not being tired of me. I'm very, very grateful. Like as I keep saying, I have never one day given honorarium to not even one naira. Yet you respect me. God will honor you. Professor.
Amen. Thank you.
I know today you are supposed to be making journey somewhere, but here you are respecting me again. God will honor you.
Amen.
And your family.
Amen.
And please, if you travel, my regards to madam.
Thank you.
Her lordship.
I say too many things on the radio.
off the mic.
Have I said it?
We draw what you heard.
From the books.
Kayode, thank you very much. Camera, thank you very much. We want to appreciate you. You can reach me all the media platforms. You know them. Let me go for that. We are going back to the market now to say thank you to those who are bringing food to the table.
All right. And we wrap up the show right here. We say thank you for everything you do, for listening in.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.